chapter 22 tonight, Genesis chapter number 22. I'm giving you part two to the message that's entitled The Land of Moriah. The Land of Moriah. We gave you part one of this, gave you the opening two thoughts. We're going to close with the third thought tonight. Don't think I'm going to be quick, though, because I've got 8 points to get to tonight. So may the Lord help me with this. Get us to it quickly. Get us in, get us out. Amen. All right, let's pray together, and we'll continue with part two of this message on the land of Moriah. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 22 is one of the most familiar chapters in all the Word of God. This is the chapter that is the offering of Isaac by his father Abraham, where the Lord stops him. He's tested him, tried him. Abraham passes the test. And this night, if you want to go back and get the introduction and get the opening 2 points, help yourself. It's probably on the internet already. And you can order it, whatever you want to do. I want to get to point number three, because if not, we're going to be here for a long, long time. I'm kidding, okay, folks? Number one, we looked at the test this morning. Number two, we looked at the typology. And number three tonight, we look at the teaching. Now, let me say this to you, that some of this tonight's going to be repeat, because I've already given you the story, and throughout that story, when I preached on it this morning, I brought out some thoughts, but I'm just going to reapply some things and give you 8 major thoughts that I see in this chapter. These are points of application. The test and the typology were an interpretation, if you will, and tonight we're going to apply this in the land of Moriah. We notice it's test, it's typology, and now it's teaching. There are 8 major thoughts I want to give you tonight. Things that we can take away from this chapter. Things that we can learn from this chapter. And I want you to ask God to speak to your heart as we travel through this. Point number one. First of all, we learn that God tests our faith every now and then. God tests our faith every now and then. Now, I preached on that test this morning in verse number 1 where he says, God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, again, when we first look at these messages, we can see right here, these verses together, we can see how the Lord was tenderly testing his servant Abraham's faith in him. See, the Lord had already given Abraham promises concerning this same child. He had already given him words. He had already given him promises concerning this child. And now he tests him about putting this boy to death. But Abraham had God's promises already. And here's what I'm saying to you. The Lord knew how much Abraham loved his son. But the Lord put Abraham to the test. He wanted Abraham's faith, get this. He wanted Abraham's faith to get bigger and better and bigger and better. He wanted Abraham's faith to be sharpened and fine-tuned, if you will. The way he did this was he tested him with his son that was so dear to his heart. Before I go on, it's good to see Mrs. Mineta here. God bless you, ma'am. We're glad that you're back in the midst of us here. I don't know about your husband, but it's sure glad to see you tonight, okay? I'm just playing with you. No, I'm not. No, I am kidding with you, all right? Good to see you here. Let me say this to you. There are times in every child of God's life when our Heavenly Father will test our faith. Sometimes with those who are dearest to us. And He does this to prove our faith in Him. These tests can come in a number of different ways. However, it's important to realize when these tests come, they are not to hurt us, but rather make us all the Lord wants us to be. He wants our faith in Him to come shining through. He wants us to allow that test to make us more like Him. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that there are people, all of God's children, and in a crowd this size, some of you are here tonight, your faith is being tested. I'm talking about something going on in your life right now that the devil tries to use it to get you to turn against God, and God's trying to use it to get you to trust Him more, get you to believe Him more. Easy for me to preach this when you're on the mountaintop. A lot harder to live it when you're in the valley. We had a couple this morning in Sunday school who's getting ready to take one of their children to Vanderbilt. I didn't get the permission to share this, so I'm not going to tell you who it is, but anyway, anytime a child is going through a trial, the parent would much rather go through it than their children. God knows who they are, and we're praying for them. But I'm telling you tonight that every one of God's children has their faith tested every now and then. Did you come into this auditorium tonight and God is testing your faith? God is testing you and proving you and trying you. See what He's doing, there's a fire inside of every child of God's heart. It's the fire of faith. And what He does, He takes his prober, if you will, and He sticks it. He's trying to get that flame to burn brighter, burn bigger, burn hotter. That's point number one. That God tests our faith every now and then. Point number two. By the way, this is one of those points in teaching and preaching that you're not going to leave and say, boy, wasn't point two good? Or wasn't point three good? Or wasn't point four good? And the second thing he said under that, wasn't that tremendous? No. This is one of those teachings that I trust one of these eight will hit you. Ask God to speak to you. God has already spoken to some of you right there that He's testing your faith. Number two, we're to love God supremely. We are to love God supremely. We see this in verse 2 and then verses 9 and 10. As I mentioned earlier in this sermon, the Lord didn't want Isaac's life as much as He wanted Abraham's love. See, the Word of God makes it clear to us that Abraham loved his son dearly. Now the Lord tells him to offer his son on the altar to Him. This goes to show that the Lord wanted Abraham to love Him more than his own flesh and love Him more than his own blood. And may I say this to you, we are to love God more than anybody on the face of the earth. We are to love God more than anybody or anything else in this world. And when we truly love our God this way, we will have no problem doing anything that He asks us to do. See, some of us, if God would have looked at us and said, I want you to take your boy, I want you to take your girl, and I want you to sacrifice, and we'd say, wait a minute. I thought you loved me, God. I thought this is the son of your promise, God. See, many of us, we will question God. And yet when He tells us to do something and we do not do it, we are proving to Him that He does not have our supreme love. If you really love Him supremely, you'll do anything He asks you to do. Mark 12, 30 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Yet in John 14, 15, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Let me ask you a question. Who do you love most? I love my wife. I'll tell you, that's who I love the most, not me. I love my wife. She's here. Beautiful. Man, God's been good to me. I'm so glad, preacher, that I answered yes when she proposed to me like you did when Miss Lashley proposed to you. It was such a blessing. And Becky, sweetheart, thank you for proposing. I appreciate that. Yes. I'm being facetious. I think you probably knew that already, didn't you? Anyway, what I'm saying to you, God has made the Christian life in such a way that if my wife is above Him, then I will never be the husband to her that He wants me to be. Did you hear what I just said? If I love my son and my daughter more than I love God, then I can never be the father to them that God made me to be. The only way I can love my wife and be all God wants me to be with her and love my boy and love my girl and be all to them that God wants me to be is if I love Him supremely. That's the only way. We learn in this lesson, number one, that God tests our faith every now and then, but number two, we are to love God supremely above all else. Number three, we are to obey God completely and immediately. We are to obey God completely and immediately. We see this in verse 3. Matter of fact, while I'm preaching here, I'm going to give you these verses. If you want to read them while I'm preaching, you can. Verse 3, verse 6, verses 9 and 10. It's interesting that when Abraham received this test from the Lord, he did not hesitate in his obedience. That's where I mean get it, obey God immediately. Notice how the Bible says in verse number 3 that he rose up early to get started on this journey. Let me remind you, this was a death march in Abraham's mind. He was getting up to go take his boy to die. Now, he believed that his boy would be resurrected. Hebrews tells us that. But I don't think Abraham was very excited about what the process was going to be. What I mean by that, this is his beloved son. This is the one that God promised him. I mean, can't you just imagine the yearnings that this father had for his boy? God comes to him and says, I want you to take that same boy, thy son, your only son, who you love, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And there's no hint whatsoever that Abraham ever questioned. The Bible says the next morning he got up early and he started towards the land of Moriah. Then we notice in verses 9 and 10 how Abraham had every intention to offer his son as a sacrifice, just like God told him to. I mean, he raised the knife to kill his boy. You know, what I'm saying to you here, this is so simple, I understand it's so simple, but we need to understand that as God's children, let us get into the habit that anything God tells us to do, do it immediately. And anything he tells us to do, do it completely. God's commands are not for negotiation. God's commands are not for question. God's commands are to be obeyed. Therefore, when he tells us to do something, do it. The Bible tells us this same thing in John chapter 2. Don't turn to it. Just stay right there in Genesis with me. But in John chapter 2, the story of Jesus turning the water into wine. It's interesting that in verse number 5, it says, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, that would be a great life verse for people. Whatsoever he saith to do, do it. Now, let me ask you a question. How obedient are you to the commands of God? Is there a command that your answer's been no? You say, no, as far as I know, I'm living in perfect obedience to God. Okay, reading the Bible every day, praying every day, being a gospel witness, faithful to church, being clean in your mind, over and over and over and over. I mean, all the commands of Scripture, all of them. How faithful are you to God's commands? Are you obeying God immediately? Or are you in the habit of stopping and saying, wait a minute, let me search a little bit more into this before I get into it? What I'm saying to you is that we learn, number three, we're to obey God completely and obey him immediately. When God tells you to do something, friends, listen to me, do it. Just do it. How simple can you get? Just obey the Lord. Then point number four, believe God even in the most trying of times. Believe God and his word even in the most trying times. We see this in verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Notice this, and come again to you. He's saying, we're going on to worship now. I don't know if these other men knew what was going to take place. But Abraham knew. Abraham had every intention of killing his boy, just like God told him to offer his child. He binds the sacrifice, he lays him on the altar, he raises the knife and gets ready to come down, but he made it clear right here before he ever went up on that mountain. He said, let me make something perfectly clear to you. The child and I are going to worship, but we will both come back again. Now, the Bible identifies what he meant in Hebrews chapter 11. I read it this morning, where the Bible says that he counted him faithful. Now listen to me. He believed that God was able to raise his boy again. Read it yourself. I'm telling you that Abraham thought he was going to kill his boy, but he believed that God on that same mountain would raise and resurrect his child. Why did he believe that? Why did he believe that? He believed it because he had God's promises. God had promised to bless the world through that boy. God had promised to make a nation out of that boy, and he had not done it yet. And even though God said, I want you to kill him, it did not negate the promises of God. It was a hard time. It was a trying time. It was a difficult time. But Abraham believed the promises of God in that trying time. He believed God in that hard time. He believed God in that test of faith. And I'm telling you, and he knew God had given him promises concerning that boy. And even though the command may not have made sense, he knew it would not change the promises of God. He knew it. And I'm telling you, life is made up of many times, many trying times in a child of God's life, many hurtful times, times of testing. And during these trying times, we can and should hold on to the promises of God. There is no situation or circumstance in life that can nullify the promises of God. The promises of God can be believed in the midst of all times, including the most trying of times. Let me say this to you. I feel almost ashamed to think that I've gone through anything, because compared to folks in this room, I've gone through nothing. But many of you, dear saints of God, because the older you get, the more this happens. Many of you, dear saints of God, could stand to your feet and testify to the fact that even when I was at my lowest point, the Word of God was still faithful. The Word of God was still true, and the promises were still true. And there's nothing in life that can negate the promises of God. Nothing. Makes no difference what it is. God's promises are true. He will not fail you. I'm telling you, we need to believe God even in the most trying of times. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Believe God. I know, easy to preach, hard to live, but it is the answer. That's number four. Let me give you number five. We're halfway home. Stay with me. Point number one, God tests our faith every now and then. Point number two, we're to love God supremely. Point number three, we're to obey God immediately and completely, no matter what it is. Point number four, believe God even in the most trying of times. Point number five, hold nothing back from God. Hold nothing back from God. Verse number 12 brings this out. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know now that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He's saying, Abraham, you did not withhold your boy from me. Notice how he said, from me. That's what he said. From me. This goes to show that there is absolutely nothing in this life. Nothing. Including his own son, that Abraham held back from the will of God and the purposes of God. See, when the Lord told Abraham he wanted Isaac, Abraham didn't try to hold him back. Here's what I'm trying to say here. Abraham took his hands off of Isaac's life. Abraham took his parental rights off of Isaac's life. And he gave Isaac to the will of God. And let me say this to you. When a person loves the Lord supremely, there is nobody and nothing that he will hold back from God. Nothing. What I'm saying to you is this. It's amazing to look around and see God's children holding back on God. Holding back their own life. Holding back their children. Holding back their possessions. See, some people hold back their possessions to buy that boat or buy that, when there's people dying without Christ around the world. Some people take their children and say, God, you can use them anywhere, but please don't call them overseas. Please don't call them to the mission field. Use them here in America if you want, but please, I can't take it. My heart will break. You know what that tells God? You love your child more than him. I'm a straight shooter, friends. You know that by now, right? I throw it out straight, but everything I throw out is coming back in my face. It's like a boomerang. I have children in the home. And I'm telling you, my heart right now, I am begging God, to use my children. Make my boy a man of God. Make my girl a handmaiden of the Lord. I'm praying that God uses them. God blesses them. I'm being very careful what I say because they're here and I don't want them to be daddy called. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'll say this to you. God has worked in my life in such a way that if God would call them to Africa, to Europe, to the Middle East, wherever it is, I believe, I think, my answer would be yes. We learn from this story, don't hold back anything from God. Don't hold back your own children from God. Abraham knew that the will of God was the best for him and the best for his boy. So he took his hands off and said, God is yours. Let me ask you a question, parent. Have you done that? Have you really done that? God, send my boy anywhere. God, send my girl anywhere. Just let them be used of you. We learned that from this story. Is there anything in this life or anybody in this life that you won't let go of? That you're just holding on to? Is there somebody that you need to take your hands off? You know it'd be great tonight? You know it'd be wonderful tonight? It'd be wonderful for moms and dads to bring their children to the altar and maybe lay their hands on their children and say, God, I love this little one. Take your hands off and say, but now I take my hands off. Let me ask you a question, and I'm talking to myself here. What are we afraid of? Do you really think God is out to get your children? Oh, they're going to let me make the decision. Let me see if I can make his life miserable. Let me see if I can send him to the most dangerous spot in the world. Let me make sure that his mom and daddy don't sleep at night because they're afraid I'm going to call them. God doesn't work that way, friends. God's the author of peace. God's the author of power. You know where those thoughts of fear and trouble are coming from? Not from God. Do you think God is sovereign over all? Amen. And may I say this to you, if God would call my boy or call my girl to the most dangerous hot spot in the universe today, he is safer there than he would be here in the comforts of America. That's the truth. That's the truth. I would much rather for God's blessing to be upon my children than to hold them back from the will of God. Amen, friends. That's number five. Number six, that's for the parents. Now let me get the children. Are you ready? Here we go. Children are to honor and obey their parents. We learned this from verses 9 and 10. I made reference to this morning. But it's important to remember that Isaac, remember now, is not a little child at this time. Remember what I said this morning? It's been said he was a grown man. This tells us that he could have resisted his father, Abraham tying him up and offering him as a sacrifice. However, get it, there is no hint of rebellion in this son's heart. None. He willingly laid down and allowed his father to use him in fulfilling the will of God for his life. What I'm saying to you is this, he obeyed his daddy. He submitted to his daddy. He honored his daddy. And I'm telling you, it is important that all children, young and old, because I remind you that Isaac was older. It's important that all children, young and old, learn the lesson that we are to honor and obey our parents in the Lord. I'm telling you something, friends. This does not give parents the right to play God in a child's life. Well, I know God told you to do that, but I don't want you to do it, and the Bible says obey me. You better watch out with an attitude like that. It's better to obey God than man. I'm talking about as you get older, young people. It does not give parents the right to play God, but let me say this to you. It does not give the children the right to disobey and honor their and dishonor their parents even when they're older and out of the home. Let me ask you a question. If your mom and dad's still alive, matter of fact, let me ask it this way. Have y'all's mom and dad, mom or dad or both, let me ask this way. How many of both of your parents are already with the Lord? Would you raise your hand? Let me ask you a question if you got your hand raised. If your mom and daddy walked in that door right there and asked you to do something, wouldn't you willingly say, yes, sir, I'll be happy to do that. Yes, ma'am, I'll gladly do that. Let me tell you something. If you dishonor and disobey your parents, you're nothing. You are nothing. You're a zero. Young people, listen to me. God cannot bless a life of a child who dishonors and disobeys mom and daddy. He will not bless that life. We've got some precious young people here sitting on the front row and scattered abroad. Can I give you some pastoral counseling? Obey your mom and dad. Honor your mom and dad. Let me give you the difference. I've told you this before. Obeying is action. Honor is attitude. Let's say that I'm your daddy. Many of you think, you know, call me daddy anyway. Teenagers, dad, all this kind of stuff. Here's your dad talking to you. You listening to me? Say that I come up to you and say, I need you to clean your room. And you take the door and say, go clean your room. You know what you did? You obeyed, but you dishonored in your attitude. See, God wants you to do the right thing. He wants you to do it in the right spirit. He wants you to obey your parents in action, but He wants you to honor your parents in attitude. And I'm telling you something, we are to honor and obey our mom and dad. My mom's here tonight. My dad was here this morning. And I believe that they'd testify to the fact, anything they ask me to do, if I can do it, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. Because I know this, if time goes normal, now I'm not promised tomorrow, you understand, but if time goes normal, my mom and dad are not going to be here forever. And I'll tell you one thing, you dishonor your mom and dad who you can see, how are you going to honor God who you cannot see? That's what the Word of God says. The Bible tells us in Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. That's what the Bible says. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. We learn, number six, that children are to honor and obey their parents. Number seven, we learn that God has provided Himself a lamb. We see this in verse number 7, verse 8, verse number 13. Remember the story how Isaac is on his way with Abraham and Isaac turns around and says, Abraham, Daddy, here's the wood, here it is, but where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. Some people teach this that he's saying God will provide Himself a lamb. In other words, He would be the lamb. The fact of the matter is this. However you interpret that verse, we know that this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that we know from the pages of the Holy Word of God and the book of John and elsewhere that the lamb has been provided some 2,000 years ago. John 1:29-36, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has died as the substitute for our sin. He had the wrath of God fall on him on the cross of Calvary. And because the Lamb of God had the wrath of God poured out upon him, we can be saved and live forever with him in heaven. Praise God for the Lamb tonight, friends. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you point number 8 here. I'm proud of myself. I got through these pretty quickly. Of course, I've not even started point 8, but I'm attempting here. Point 8. Obedience to God brings God's blessing. Obedience to God brings God's blessing. Look at verse 15 and following. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Notice, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The angel of the Lord comes to him and says, because you have obeyed me, because you have listened to me, he said, I'm going to bless you. My blessing is going to be upon you. Then he said, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars in heaven and as the sand on the shore. Then he said, I'm going to have your seed. They're going to possess the gate of his enemies. See, the gate was the control point. It was the dominating point. It was the ruling point. In other words, he's saying, your seed, your children, they're going to dominate other people. They're going to rule over other people. They're going to control and dominate their enemies. And he goes on to say that, oh, and by the way, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That was a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm saying to you is this, in all of this, we see God blesses those who obey his commands. He blesses them personally. He said, Abraham, my blessing will be upon you. And then get it, his favor rests upon those coming in his stead. I'm telling you something, friends. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself. You know the greatest thing a parent can do? Obey God. Because you live in obedience to God, God blesses you, and he gives your children a blessing as a result of it as well. I want God's blessing to fall out and overflow from me to my children. Don't you? I want God to bless my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, if God tarries his coming. And I'm telling you, the greatest thing I can do to make sure that happens, are you listening to me, is stay right with God myself. Obey God myself. See, nobody rewards like God. Nobody. God said, give me your boy. And when he did, he said, I'm going to give you so many sons you can't even count them. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I tell you what, Abraham, because you did this, your children are going to be so numerous that there is the stars in the sky and there is the sand on the shore. You can't outgive God, friends. God promises to bless those who trust him, who obey him, and live in obedience to his word. Now in this message here, we brought out several things in the land of Moriah. There was a test there. Abraham's faith was tested to see who he loved more and whose will he was more committed to. There were typology there. We saw Abraham pictured the father, and we saw Isaac pictured the son, and we saw the ram pictured the substitutionary death of Christ. And there we saw there were teaching. There were points of application. And in that we saw that God tests our faith every now and then. We saw that we're to love God supremely. We saw that we're to obey God completely and immediately. We're to believe God in the most trying of times. We're to hold back nothing from him. We're to children are to honor and obey their parents. God has provided himself a lamb, and obedience to God's commands brings the blessing of God upon your life and upon the life of those coming behind you. So I ask you a question. Did any one of these eight speak to you? Any one of these eight points of application hit you right between the eyes, so to speak? Or may I say, did it hit you a little bit lower and hit you in the heart? Parents, are you living in such a way that God will bless your children? Are you obeying God's commands in such a way that God says, I'm going to bless your kids, I'm going to bless your grandkids because you have obeyed my voice? Parents, have you taken your hands off your children? Children, are you honoring and obeying your mom and daddy? Are you just doing what God told you to do? May the Lord help us to see this. Simple, but yet it'll change our life if we obey the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your grace and truth. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to you. Learn these lessons. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Is the Lord speaking to you? Maybe tonight God is speaking to you because you've never trusted Him as Savior. Maybe you're not born again. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus. Has there been a time when you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you, take you to heaven? If there has, that's a great thing. If there hasn't, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Well, let me just work down through these 8 points here with you. Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm here tonight and I'm saved, but God is testing my faith. I'm going through something right now that God is testing me. And I recognize it as that now. It's God testing my faith. Be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, God's testing me. Yes, God bless you. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you about loving Him supremely. How many of you say, Jody, it's not that you don't want to love Him supremely, but maybe somebody in this life has caught your affection more than they should have. Maybe God's speaking to a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad. You love your family, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. That's a godly thing. But do you understand that if you love them more than you love God, you are condemning them. You are hurting them. You're not helping them. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me in that way. I need to love God supremely. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? God bless you. God bless you. Somebody here tonight say, Jody, God's told me to do something. I just need to stop questioning. I just need to obey Him immediately. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody say, Jody, I'm in a trying time and I just need to believe God. God's spoken to me about when Abraham said, oh, me and the boy's going, but we'll come back again. So I'm in a trying time. I'm in a hard time. And God's speaking to me about just trusting His word, trusting His promises. God's dealing with me about that. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about these kind of things. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody tonight say, Jody, the Lord spoke to me in the part of holding back nothing. Let me talk to parents here. How many of you say, Jody, I'm a parent. God knows my heart. I want God to use my children. And I believe God's telling me to take my hands off. I believe God's telling me to remove my hands. Take my rights away and give them to God. Have you a parent say, Jody, that's me. That's me. God's speaking to me in that. Would you be honest? Raise your hand. Be an honest person about it. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Somebody tonight say, Jody, I'm a child. Maybe you're still in the home. Maybe you're not, but maybe you're dealing with parents. Maybe they've asked you to do some things, or maybe your attitude's not been right. And you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about the way I treat my parents. This doesn't mean that you're treating them bad, but it might just mean that your attitude's not been right. Some of you children, some of you teenagers, some of you children may need to go home and say, Mama, forgive me. Daddy, forgive me. My attitude's not been right. Have you say, Jody, that's me. God's speaking to me in that way. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. God bless you. God bless you. Do something about it. Have you say, Jody, I want God's blessing on my life. And I realize that the way I get it is just to obey Him. And you say, I want God's blessing to be upon me and my family. And I know all of us can raise our hand to this, but I'm asking, is God specifically dealing with you about that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I want God's blessing. God is speaking to me in this. And I realize all I need to do is obey. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air. Would you do that? God bless you. If you raise your hand for anything, and that's a lot of you, you ought to thank God for speaking to you. And you ought to come to the altar if you can and talk to God about it. You say, I can't kneel down. Then just come to the front pew and have a seat. Or make an altar out of your seat right there. Whatever it is, let's do business with Him. Father, take these thoughts and use them in a mighty way. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's all stand together. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God has dealt with you about anything, as Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come. Would you do that? As he sings, come now. Would you do it? Come now, folks.
Have thine own way,
talk to God about it.
Lord,
talk to God about
have
it.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
The Lord speaks to your heart. That's a great blessing.
I am the clay.
The Lord deals with you. That's a great
and
blessing.
Make me after thy will. While I am
They're playing through softly. It might be good. I'm not trying to concoct some large altar call here, but maybe there's a daddy in the congregation. Maybe your family's here with you, your wife, your children. God is pricking your heart right now about just grabbing that child, grabbing your wife. Come to the altar, praying as a family, saying, God, I want you to use this child. I want you to use my children. Commit yourself before the Lord. As Brother Gary sings the next verse, if God is prompting you, Father, to do that, bring your family as he sings. Come now, would you do that?
Have thine own way.
Some of your daddies, Lord, grab your family. Come
have
on.
Thine own way.
Talk to God about it.
Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
They're playing through softly. You can look this way. Folks are praying. Thank the Lord for it. Let me say this to you. There are many things that I cannot do. There are many things that you cannot do either. Not all people have the same abilities. But all of us can be obedient. All of us can be faithful to God. Just do what he says. Simple, isn't it? That's the Christian life. Father, bless this church. Keep your hand upon it. Keep us true to you until we see you face to face. And no matter what the future may hold, help us to hold to the Word of God and be faithful to you and what you've given us to do. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a good night. Behave.